morning, good morning, good morning. It is time now for the Green Country Gardener program. I'm Tom, he's Larry Glass, our expert. Kevin's in with us here today, and our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936. Morning, gentlemen.
Burr.
A little cold out there, are you? Just a little on the chilly side.
I think the ice age is approaching.
I came down to Oklahoma to burn like a cinder with all this global warming.
Wow. Let me tell you something. This is a little tough out here for mid-April.
Little.
This is a little tough. This is like, seriously, this is February, Larry.
I know this is February. Where
this is February.
Early March, like, yeah, around.
This is tough.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the ranchers, we've burned off our pastures and got a little rain.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's just sitting there.
Yeah.
We need heat. Sunshine and heat.
I think after midweek, we're going to see some of that, according to the long-range forecast.
Well, they're talking,
going to be a little bit of
they're
rain
talking a frost Wednesday morning.
I looked at the weather this morning. They're talking 28 degrees.
Well, if we keep talking about it, it'll be down to the teens before this show.
Nah, I
want to have a word with they.
Who is they?
Who,
the collective
guys.
They.
It's that thing right there with all them buttons on it.
But seriously, this literally is February weather.
Yeah, well, it happens occasionally, and we have a late freeze. And typically I tell people, check the weather out. Even though we say April the 15th is typically the last day of freeze, check the weather forecast before you put in your plants.
You remember this a long time ago, Larry. We sat right in here and made a bet.
Yes.
Because we did have a frost like May 1st or 2nd 1 year.
Uh-huh.
Now, I didn't win the bet because it wasn't the year we bet.
I'm still wanting that prime rib.
I know that.
I know a guy.
But
that was 10 years ago.
But we did. I remember.
Well aged.
We did have a frost on May 1st. We've had a frost.
Yes, and, it is possible, yes.
And
rare, but possible.
What happens, they say, the Indians have told us this years ago, if you have a thunderstorm, lightning and thunder in January, you'll have a frost on May 1st.
We had that.
And we had it that year.
Yeah, we were in Bermuda shorts in January.
I know it. And so I don't know if we had any thunder or lightning storm in January this year, but anyway, that's...
I don't know, something scared my dog under the couch then, so perhaps we did.
But I am telling you, it's cold out there this morning, and I'm going to, Larry, today I've given up on my Indian hawthorns. I think that I went and trimmed them last weekend.
Right.
I cut them off, and all the wood's just dead in them.
Well,
I think the plant's dead.
For the most part, probably so.
And here's the thing. These are on the south side of the house.
Yes.
They're shielded by the north, all that. The ones on the north side of the house actually have green coming up.
Mm.
What's the deal?
Somebody left the front door open.
What happened? Seriously, I don't get it. And the ones on the south side were big and
That might be a function of the amount of snow on the ground in those particular locations. The snow is a great insulator.
I should have watered them down before that and just covered them with ice.
Well, all that rain we had beforehand.
Yeah, but I mean covered the plant with ice.
Oh, yeah.
Or put straw over the top of them.
Yeah, but you never know what's going to happen with the weather. And it wasn't the fact that it was really cold. It was cold for so long.
Yeah.
Is what caused that. There are a lot of trees in town that have not leafed out yet.
My live oaks haven't yet, but they're still alive.
My water oaks aren't out either.
My water oaks are coming out.
Mine aren't.
Yep, mine are coming out.
I think I'm going to have to take them out, and they're big.
Are they dead ones?
Yeah, they're not leafing out. They did this to me before, a few years back. They waited
they
until
they... fooled you?
Yeah, then they... Poof, then they came out.
But most of all my... I got to tell you, all my trees are either out or budding out, except my live oaks, but I've peeled back clear to the end, all over that tree, and there's green everywhere.
Yeah, they'll come out.
They of course, I am on the past the northern edge. Tulsa's as far north as live oaks are supposed to.
Right.
Do it, but we've made them survive.
You're pushing the envelope there, guy.
But they're doing good. And if they made it this year, they'll make it.
Yeah, they'll make it anywhere.
So I'm trying to figure out what to put in place of those. I'd like an evergreen that flowers.
That's a tough call in this neck of the woods, with the exception of azaleas.
Yeah, but you got to dig everything out and just put solid peat moss in there for them.
Yeah. Depends on how bad you want it, guy.
Don't want it that bad.
It'll be a good annual bed, perhaps.
So what about the azaleas? How'd they do?
The azaleas, for the most part, did rather well. Some of the azaleas that showed some stress from pH imbalance are showing some negative appearance at this point. In other words, if they were under stress for some odd reason prior to the cold spell, they are exhibiting some degree of damage. But they're coming out. I was at a house yesterday when we started this drain project, and the plants look totally hopeless. I met with them yesterday, and they're blooming.
They're blooming now?
Yeah, so just give them a little bit of time.
Should I not dig out these Indian hawthorns?
I would wait just a little while longer.
The wood's dead, Larry.
Yeah, but
they have
a lot of subterranean stuff that's probably
so. Should I just cut them off at the ground?
Just cut them off at the ground and just wait and see.
Get the chainsaw out now.
Oh, here we go. Now we go.
16-cylinder hedge trimmers.
I'll get
a turbocharger and dual exhaust.
I guess I could just get the chainsaw out and just cut off the tops and see what happens.
I would. I'd do that and then give them a chance. Now,
how far from the ground? About yay high.
About that high. About 3 inches high. But you have the root system in the ground, and it was relatively unaffected. So that's a lot of root system to support some upper growth. Mm-hmm. So if and when they do come back, they will do so quite rapidly, actually.
Even Indian hawthorns?
Yes.
Really?
There's a lot to feed them. If you start over again with little plants, you have to develop a root system as well as a top.
Okay, I'll get the chainsaw instead of digging them up.
And that crosses all platforms as far as plants are concerned. Your dwarf Yopon hollies, your dwarf Nandinas, for instance, they took a real bad hit this last winter. The root system is intact, you know, without any problems. So just leave them as they are, cut them back really low, and they'll come back remarkably quick if it ever warms up.
I don't know, Larry. This is tough.
Yeah, so.
And they're talking about a frost later.
Oh, 28 degrees Monday night, mm-hmm. Tuesday morning. So yep. So that's pretty chilly.
Should we turn the sprinklers on?
We did experiment with that 1 year at the nursery, and
it didn't work.
It failed.
It failed. It failed.
Never miserably failed.
Hit the off button and just move them under cover. So we'll be putting some of the skin back on our shade house to put our begonias in for that night. So
my Chinese hollies hadn't even started to come out yet.
I noticed that. You have these little deer antlers up by your gate.
They look like deer antlers, don't they? But it's all green.
Yeah,
the wood's green.
Yeah, it'll come back. Now, those are shaded right over there.
So it's going to be a little tougher.
Face the north, but they'll come back. About a month from now, you say, I'm glad I let those in the ground.
I'm going to dump mulch around everything today.
Yeah.
Out there.
We have bulk mulch. Got a new load in. Cedar mulch.
I have bulk mulch.
Smells really nice. So anyway, got some of that too at the nursery.
Kelly Banks brought me a truckload.
A truckload?
From trees.
Oh, okay.
That he ground up.
Okay.
Now, I don't put those around the house.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay too.
I put it all away.
Ours is more decorative.
I know that. So I have to come get that. I come get the cedar mulch when I'm around the house, because that bugs don't like that.
And some permethrin to stop the termites.
Yeah. And I did find out I had one of my sprinkler lines is broke.
Add that one to your list. You've been repairing a lot of those lately, young man.
It's just sort of
broken. For what reason?
I think there was some water in it.
Over and it froze out. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was up next to the house, one of those that runs along the
I've run into some of those, and you make sure when you replace it, you put an automatic drain valve at that place.
At that place.
Yes, that way it won't happen again.
I'll dig it up and I'll fix it.
Yeah, an automatic drain valve is this little disc-like affair that screws into the pipe, and when the pressure is released, the water dribbles out. So, tip for the day.
There's my tip.
Don't
just put a plain old piece of pipe.
Tell you what, I'm glad we brought him along today, Tom.
Yeah, no kidding.
Glad we brought him along.
Also, you can use a high-density polyethylene pipe, too, and in place of PVC in those areas that are low like that. And
it's called PEC?
HDPE. You get some, we have some HDPE pipe that's IPS standard, so it's easy to interface the existing systems. And use their fittings too.
Just glue it.
Yeah. Well, no, you don't glue this stuff.
You don't.
It goes together like PEX.
Oh, does it?
It's the best stuff in the world.
It just goes together.
Like that.
There's a coupler there that just.
Yeah. Then there's a release tool. You can take it apart.
Really?
Huh? So very easy to do. Yeah.
Man, I have learned.
It's called Blue Lock.
Taking the work out of the work.
Man, I've just learned.
We did that.
If I can get somebody to dig it out for me, then I'll be good to go.
There you go. Somebody calling you right there.
Get that telephone to do it. They can do anything.
I know. Anyway. All right, Larry, I'm going with my chainsaw right now.
Okay, we'll be listening for you.
Yeah, we can hear it from here.
You see the big cloud of black smoke
big
to
plume,
the south?
Yeah, that'll be coming from the south. No. All righty, well, we're going to take this little break, and we'll be back with more of the Green Country Gardener program after this two-minute timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Reynolds. If you call United Reynolds Strategic Sales Team, you may not get someone directly with Bartlesville, but you'll get someone from the Tulsa Metro. These are still local people. They will be from the Tulsa Hub. They all know the availability of equipment that can be brought to that branch to take care of your needs. We are local and customer focused. You can give us a call at United Reynolds, 918-333-9580.
Spring is here at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. And Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of annuals, perennials, herbs, trees, and shrubs arriving daily. It's a must-see what they have in stock. Get ready for spring at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home to Bartlesville's largest plant selection. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5, Sunday.
Hey, y'all. Jeff Foxworthy here. Now, if you've ever found yourself repeating the same thing over and over for 75 years, you might be Smokey Bear.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
That's why I'm filling in for Smokey to switch things up, because there's a lot more to say. And I should know, because my grandfather was a firefighter. And one of the things he taught me is that the people that love the outdoors the most are often the ones accidentally starting wildfires, which means always BYOB. No, bring your own bucket to the campfire. And be extra careful with things like burning yard trimmings. Don't just walk away, or chances are you might be starting a wildfire. So for the love of the outdoors, go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
All righty. Good morning. Our phone lines are open here for the Green Country Gardener program at 1-800-749-5936. Larry Glass is with us. 8:23 is our time. It can warm up any time now.
You bet. The azaleas are beginning to bloom right now for the most part, actually.
Yeah.
The iris are starting to bloom. I have some in my backyard that are blooming. They're beautiful purplish color, mm-hmm. and some bicolors in the front showing some color. The peonies, the ones in one part of the yard are growing and developed nicely. The others are just barely up. So it just kind of depends on where they were when it got cold.
Ours has got the fat little heads on them ready to open up.
Not quite. Mine are a little late this year. But typically they are ready at this point in time. But today's a good marking point. It's our wedding anniversary today, the wife
and
me.
Happy anniversary.
Yay. So anyway, and that's usually when the peonies start to show up, their color and so on. So that's they're a little late this year, understandably so. Yeah. So, oh golly. Oh, time to think about perennials and annuals and the color they bring in the summer, too. Mm-hmm. Annuals are very good workhorses for summer color, mm-hmm. but they are tender. And if you did happen to get your annuals out early like this, you'll want to tent them over in light of this cold weather coming up Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
I say tent them over.
Tent, yes.
You simply can't put just a sheet of plastic or a sheet over them and expect that to work, because as the material which you're using, like sheets and plastic, touch the leaves, the cold air is transmitted through.
Yes. So you have to little...
So what you need to do is get some wooden dowels or coat hangers or something mm-hmm. to elevate this above the ground so the plastic does not shut or does not touch. Yeah, that's the word, touch your plants. And then that'll be a good insulator. And you might want to be a little bit late to work that day. You don't want to leave it on top of the plants mm-hmm. because the sun will, the heat from the sun will get trapped mm-hmm. inside there and it'll get really hot. Uh-huh. And that's not good either. So, to shield your annuals, put some sticks, dowels in the ground, pieces of bamboo, mm-hmm. T-posts, anything like that, to elevate that above.
Mm-hmm.
And then put your covering material on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And bed sheets, a work roll, blankets, anything like that you got will help to insulate mm-hmm. those plants from the cold that's coming up Monday night.
Monday.
So, be prepared for that. Right now, you want to keep the foliage on your tulips and your daffodils. Mm-hmm. That is what feeds the bulb mm-hmm. for it to bloom next year.
Got it.
It's photosynthesizing, making carbohydrates to store up in the bulb. It takes a lot of energy to produce those blooms. So you want to make sure the leaves are staying on there for quite some time. Somebody asked me that question. Well, they kind of just cut these leaves off. It's done blooming. I said, if you want blooms next year, no.
Don't do it.
Leave them on there. Also, a good time to think about maybe applying some mulch. I know a lot of people's gardens, the mulch on there looks a little tired right now.
Mm-hmm.
And to spruce things up in the spring, a fresh layer of mulch does an awful lot to really make things look brand new. So you might consider getting some mulch. Mm-hmm. It also acts as a means by which the weed populations will be reduced mm-hmm. on your bed. So you might want to consider that just for, number one, appearance, number two, weed control, and number three, water conservation. Of course, right now, we need to dig a hole and pump it out, but that's with the rain we've been having. But so it does, it will get dry in the summertime, so you want to be prepared for that. Okay, fruit trees also use, on mine, I sprayed them with neem oil last weekend, and spinosad, those are two organics to help keep the critters and the fungus away from your fruit trees. Time to do that, too. And maybe a little imidacloprid if you have some borers on them, too. So, fruit tree spray is a recommended thing to do. Always use the recommended intervals, too.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer to go the organic route. Makes a much better tasting jelly, I think.
It does.
So, anyway.
mm-hmm.
Also, when you plant your vegetables and things this year, always prepare your soil with a little compost to a depth of about 8 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the root zone is, mm-hmm. just right there. Our whole civilization depends on this much soil, eight inches or so of soil. So you want to make sure that your soil is in really good shape prior to planting your tomatoes and things. They don't like heavy soil. Okay?
Okay.
Another thing that's come up is, what am I going to do about bagworms?
Bagworms.
So anyway, we want to keep in mind that bagworms are, they attack about 120 different plant species. They'll mm-hmm. be on your Japanese maples. They'll be on your junipers. They really like the junipers, but mm-hmm. they'll be on those. Your arborvitaes. They don't seem to like boxwoods too much, but nonetheless, they do attack a wide variety of plant species.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one way to control them is to be proactive and apply some BT to them,
mm-hmm.
Maybe by the middle of next month. That's usually when
that's your window. Yeah,
that's when they start to become a little bit active.
Mm-hmm.
Now, BT is a Bacillus thuringiensis.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bacterial culture that causes a paralysis of the stomach of the insect. Yeah, like that. So that and because it is a bacterial spore, it remains resident in the plant for an extended period of time,
mm-hmm.
unless we have a big gully washer. So you might want to get a little bit in reserve just mm-hmm. to make up for that when that happens. So if you do have a lot of species that are susceptible to the bagworms, i.e. Japanese maples,
mm-hmm.
arborvitae, junipers, et cetera, they'll attack. I've seen them get on people siding on the house.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, not to say you don't want to spray your house. But
no, no.
After they've eaten up all your plants, they're still looking.
They're looking someplace. Hey, I wonder what that is.
On the stone or the wood. But anyway, you want to do what you can to control them. And it's a very simple matter of putting BT on and being proactive. Once you see them to the point where you can really see them, it's almost too late. They've already done their damage, and their cocoon is closed up, and they're very difficult to control, and it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
You just had to pick them off.
Bing.
Yeah. So anyway, just want to be people to be aware of that and see what's coming on. Okay. Annuals, now's a good time to plant some annuals. Typically, the freeze is over, but it will be over Monday night, apparently. So you want to get ready to plant your annuals and do some composition with them and just see what's new out there. We've got some things that are new and different this year.
Very good.
Okay. Perennials, always time to plant new perennials. Now's the time, of course, for spring cleanup on your perennials, with the exception of the ones that are up already.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't get all the dead stuff out of your perennials, well, you're a little late.
You
have to kind of selectively remove it. 2 months ago, you could have gotten your diesel-powered weed eater over there to clean up.
If you don't have one, we know somebody who does.
Yeah. But anyway, so it's time to get those up and coming, too. And I've seen some good recurrence on perennials.
Uh-huh.
Some people are questioning the hardy hibiscus, but mine at home are just now coming up. They're on the west side. So I don't think many of the perennials really got kicked back by this cold spell.
No.
Because they're on the ground, basically, when all this hit. So, but if they're not up yet, be patient. They'll be up.
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more of our Green Country Gardener program here after this two-minute timeout.
Shop Painters True Value in Dewey for great bargains. It's time to think about fertilizing your lawn for spring. Peters has Scott's Southern Triple Action Fertilizer for a 4,000 square foot lawn for $24.99 after a $3 instant in-store rebate. Save on Morton 40-pound water softening pellets and clean and protect, reducing iron buildup for $6.49. And save on Duracell batteries. Get an 8-pack of AA or AAA for just $7.99 each. Save on these and other great bargains at Peter's True Value in Dewey.
Together, we can turn a stairwell into an ER at a moment's notice. Together, we can turn a rescue ship for refugees into a maternity ward. Together, we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we can deliver medical care where the need is greatest. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't, to provide life-saving medical care to people caught in crisis situations around the world. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
Thank you for starting your day with K1 Morning News.
Today is gonna be a good day.
I love listening to your broadcast. I've always listened to you. You guys are awesome.
And I just wanted to say I'm so happy you have found your show.
Today is gonna be a good day.
K1, AM 1400 and 93.3 FM. And online at martlesvilleradio.com.
Welder.
Good morning. Welcome back. It is time now, once again, for our Green Country Gardener program to resume. And 1-800-749-5936 is our number. Larry Glass is our expert. I'm Tom. I just kind of monkey around here a little bit.
No, you do a good job.
Thank you.
You know what? I'd be lost with that plethora of buttons and knobs over there.
What do we got going on here?
Golly, we talked about annuals and perennials and trees. It's time to think about fertilizing your trees. I'd like to use 1688 or a number around that area. They're not too picky, but And typically you fertilize at the drip line. You don't do it too close to the trunk. You do it away from the trees. And the drip line, as everybody knows, is the extent with which the branches go out. Mm-hmm. And that's typically where you want to do your tree fertilization in that area. Now, there are several methods you can do. You can drill holes in the ground and pour some fertilizer in it. Or you can simply spread the fertilizer on the ground, water it in. Thirdly, you can get the fertilizer spikes. And that gets the fertilizer into the soil for the roots to take. So good time, if your trees are looking a little sickly, good time to put that on there too. If you do have borers in your trees, I know some of the maples have borers, the Japanese maples and so on. There's some borer damage on a lot of them I see around town. The imidacloprid will be a good time to put on at this point too. Typically, you'd want to do it maybe a couple of weeks ago. It does take a little while for it to get in there, but we're not out of time yet. So you might consider looking at the tree real closely, looking for peeling bark on the tree, and look for little channels dug into the wood below that, and something that looks a bit like sawdust underneath the wood too.
Mm.
That's a sure sign that you have borers. Another thing you want to look is on the southwest side of the tree.
Southwest side.
I was at a house a couple of weeks ago, and what is wrong with my tree? And I said, you got borers. And it's characteristic, just on the southwest side of the tree. You peel off a little bit of the dead bark, and there's frass under there and channels dug in the wood from borers. And so you've got borers.
See it right there, very evident.
Yeah. And why they go to the southwest border or the southwest edge of the tree is pretty easily explained. That's typically where it's slightly warmer in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
Just enough to get them through the threshold of the cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where they are. So look on the southwest side of the tree first, and if you see disruptions in the bark, holes in the bark, or bark peeling away, you probably have borers in your tree. And it's a simple, very simple method to get rid of them. The imidacloprid, you mix it up in water and pour it on the ground, and the tree soaks it up and basically kills the borers. Now, once the tree is healthy, typically the borers don't bother the trees.
No, they don't come back.
Because, what?
They just go bye-bye.
Well, no, the tree is not, it's not a subject. It's not something they don't really like. They don't really like healthy trees that much. They typically go for the sickly ones.
Yeah.
Might have something to do with the density of the sap in the tree, perhaps. So when the tree is under stress, it will develop more sap.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a higher sugar content, et cetera. That's probably why they really like to attack weak trees, newly planted trees.
Mm.
They're having to recover from the root system being cut, so they're growing pretty fast and making lots of carbs. So, and that's what these little bugs are after. So anyway, that's kind of it with trees right now. Your fruit trees, time to begin spraying on those too. Believe it or not, the bugs are kind of coming out. Then they will attack your fruit trees. So you want to steer clear of the imidacloprid on your fruit trees if they are in bloom or before they're in bloom, so you don't hurt the bees.
Mm-hmm.
Once the bees are over with, I have been reading some studies on the imidacloprid, and there's some in the fruit, but it won't hurt you.
No, but it can really mess, like you said. Don't do it with the bees.
Right. So shrubs, kind of the same thing. Fertilize them now. Use a similar formulation as 1688. If you have hollies, I like to add iron to the soil. It deepens the green color, and they seem to do healthier if they have a slightly lower pH. Hollies don't like a really high pH. And our soil here tends to be a little high in pH.
Little.
Just a little bit.
That bit.
So adding some iron sulfate will darken the color and give them that pH they require. So if your hollies are looking a little sickly, now you can tell they're being sickly by the size of the leaves. Typically, a plant that prefers a lower pH, such as azaleas and hollies, if the leaves are noticeably smaller than they should be, that's the first sign. And secondarily, the internode between the leaves is rather close together. And thirdly, then, the leaves will be somewhat discolored. Once it gets to the point of almost no return, the leaves are yellow and splotchy with fungus and so on. That means typically it's kind of run away with it, and you might as well replace the plant when that happens because it's just too sick to bring back.
Ooh, that's so, beyond the point of return. Yeah.
So it's a good idea in our high pH soil on your hollies to apply some garden sulfur, iron sulfate, or something like that to help keep that pH down. It makes the color prettier, too, and they tend to be more shiny, too, with that iron sulfate. So another thing with shrubs are your people's nandinas all over town. what I call it, the brown glow.
The brown glow?
The brown glow, yeah.
Gee-mini.
And they took a real bad hit. The Nandinas are starting to come back. Mm-hmm. So they are somewhat difficult to kill. And really haven't seen one yet that has actually been killed off by the freeze we had.
Ah.
It just takes a little bit of patience and a lot of warm weather.
Mm-hmm.
Two of things which most people don't have is patience and warm weather.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't worry about replacing them right now, although some people have. I just want to pull them out and put in new ones. Well, actually, you're going to be ahead if you leave them in the ground.
Okay.
Because as I mentioned earlier, the root system is established on them. And a good heavy root system will very quickly restore a plant to its original location, size, just by being able to feed it more effectively with a more extensive root system. You start with a new shrub or something, it has to grow out a root system to adapt to the conditions that are there.
Mm-hmm.
And the plant that was there, even though the top is gone, or the Nandinas, they're still alive underground.
Mm-hmm.
So just cut them off. I tell them about 6 inches high.
Mm-hmm. That's all you need.
Or just have Kevin to come out.
He'll
And it also, this cold spell has revealed a lot of real clubby growth on some of the older plants. The Moonbay Nandina, the Gulfstream Nandina, they tend to have these rather corky-looking stems on them. Mm-hmm. I say corky. The tissue on it is sort of gnarly, and you break it open, it looks kind of like cork. Well, they'll just have to come out.
Take them out. They're
gone. Well, don't take out the whole plant. Just take out those broken branches. I was at somebody's house. I just grabbed it and it just broke right off. And say, you really don't want this. It makes for an ugly plant.
So,
but they will come back from the roots.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting attribute of the Nandina plant. Okay?
Okay.
So another plant are the crepe myrtles. Mm-hmm. It's too early to tell at this point how far back the crepe myrtles have died back. And they will. We did have some damage to our crepe myrtles this year.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not the first time this has happened.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, we like to have crepe myrtles as a rather large shrub, if you will, here, rather than a tree form. Mm-hmm. We're a little too far north for the tree form. Now, there are some crepe myrtle varieties that do lend themselves to be tree form here. And they're they're named after Indians. Can't think of the name right now. But anyway, there's a series of them that are very cold-hardy, more so than the others. Even the cold spell we had years ago, that one, when it got, I think it was about 600 degrees below zero for a night or
thereabouts,
something.
Thereabouts, yeah.
They survived just fine. But the others didn't do really well. This one, it was 400, only 400 below zero, but it lasted 2 weeks.
So see what a difference a couple of hundred degrees below zero makes.
Exactly, it makes a difference.
Yeah, it does.
So be aware of that, and that your crepe myrtles might not come back very well this year. But you can do, and I've worn out my thumbnails, going to people's houses, scratching their stems
off. Stuff.
I'm going to have to get out my pocket knife.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, it literally wore them down. Scratching the bark, trying to find how high up the green is on the bark.
Understood.
Down below. Now, that green indicates living tissue down there.
It does.
So take your thumbnail or a pocket knife and scratch the trunk, starting real high.
Mm-hmm.
And if it looks brown, you keep going down, keep going down. And when you hit green, that's the dieback point. And I have one in front of my house, a dynamite, and it's green 6 feet up.
Mm-hmm.
The plant's 12 feet tall, but I just couldn't reach any higher than, say, 7 feet. So.
It's all the further it goes.
Yeah, but I'm just going to wait till the leaves come out to trim it back.
Then there you go.
But usually after we've had a freeze like this, the crepe myrtles come back with a vengeance, and they're beautiful. So we got a lot to look forward to on that. So as the crepe myrtles grow and develop, you want to go ahead and fertilize them. It's probably a good idea to give them just a little bit of fertilizer this spring, not too much, just with some extra phosphorus in it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they begin to grow, perhaps maybe even a boost of nitrogen just to give them some grow power. So don't forget to fertilize your crepe myrtles.
Understood.
And typically we use something that's high in phosphorus, like a 10-20-10 or something like that. You don't want them to grow too quickly. They get weak. And then when we get the winds, a tornado's coming through, they kind of mess them up a little bit. So you don't want to put too much nitrogen on them.
No.
It also deters blooming, too, if they're over-nitrogened, if you will.
Yeah.
So say a 10-20-10 or just something meant for flowering trees and shrubs would work very well. But try not to put too much nitrogen on your crepe myrtles.
There you go. We're going to take a little bit of a break. We'll have more of the Green Country Gardener program coming up after this two-minute timeout.
Spring is here at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. And Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of annuals, perennials, herbs, trees, and shrubs arriving daily. It's a must-see what they have in stock. Get ready for spring at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses, home to Bartlesville's largest plant selection. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on Nowata Road. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, noon to 5, Sunday.
11-year-old Mehdi lives in Ethiopia in extreme poverty. Like every child, Mehdi is a world of possibilities. But the world tells her otherwise. It tells her she has no value. It tells her she has no voice. It tells her she has no future. It doesn't have to be this way. Child Fund works in 25 countries to ensure that millions of children like Mehdi grow up healthy, educated, self-sufficient, and safe. Our programs help children fulfill their potential, no matter where they were born. Through Child Fund, children like Mehdi know their value, raise their voices, build a future. The right thing to do for Mehdi? Help change the world around her. Help her realize all her possibilities. Child Fund International. Learn more at childfund.org.
From Main Street to your street, it's K1 Morning News.
Good morning.
I'm Tom Davis. I'll have your headlines. Phil Weaver keeps you up to date with what's happening around the community, and he has your long-range forecast. Weather highlights with KOTV News on 6 meteorologist Alan Crone. High school, college, and professional sports with Evan Farbach. K1 Morning News.
Every morning when I wake up.
Weekday mornings at 6 o'clock on K1, the one you trust.
Good morning. It is 8:46. It's the Green Country Gardener Program, and our phone lines are open at 1-800-749-5936.
Now we talked about annuals, perennials, trees, shrubs, bagworms, vegetable gardens and things, your lawn. What's going on with my grass? It just stopped. Mm. It's growing. I don't have to mow it, at least.
Yeah.
It's doing pretty good, but it just quit growing. It's just too chilly.
Too chilly.
But anyway, and the weeds have really gone nuts, too, so... So it's, and I put on some weed killer, too. It got most of the dandelions, which I didn't really want to do, but a little pressure from the neighbors, you know.
Hey, when you get around to that, you know.
So anyway, so I zinged the dandelions. So. But I really haven't had to mow the grass this year yet, so which is kind of unusual.
I mowed three times already.
Yeah. Well, I did it a detach, and then mowed it down at different levels, and finally got it down to the lowest level. It's a bit much for 5 horsepower to cut it down too low. So you have to take it in stages.
I gotcha.
So anyway, it's almost time to begin fertilizing that Bermuda grass too.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of like to usher it into the spring by using a even ratio fertilizer to begin with. It gives you that phosphorus that needs to wake up. And then by the end of this month, so you can start your nitrogen applications about once a month too. A lawn is a very artificial environment. So we have to compensate for it being like that with some extra fertilizer now and then, some watering occasions. So.
Let's face it, a lawn is not natural. It's for our enjoyment.
Yeah, that's right.
It doesn't just occur in nature.
No, it does not. No,
it takes a lot of work.
It takes a bit of work.
Yeah.
And it takes a bit of work to keep the weeds out, too.
So. Oh, indeed.
So I have a bit of an issue with that this year. So I guess when Kevin sprayed his weeds, all the seeds went up north.
It kind of blew over your place, huh?
Maybe in the whole neighborhood, too.
Oh.
So anyway, and fescue grass, keep fertilizing your fescue grass. I talked to somebody the other day about their fescue. It looked really nice. Is it time to start mowing it up just a little bit, perhaps, and getting the height, raising it up, because it will get warm eventually. Fescue is a cool season grass. Mm-hmm. And he had a problem. His grass was kind of yellowish color. The neighbor's grass, a beautiful, pristine green color. So I said, well, maybe you should ask him what he's doing.
Hey.
If it isn't the color you want, mm-hmm. you might want to check either your soil chemistry, your soil pH. We talk about this over and over again. Mm-hmm. But anyway, check out that pH because typically the fescue grass does not like a low pH soil. It likes a neutral, even slightly high pH. Mm-hmm. You might have to add some lime to the soil. I remember as a kid growing up in Georgia, we had these big old pine trees. Couldn't reach around them. Mm-hmm. And the soil was very acid. Then we put some ag lime on that, and well, that grass would take off.
Boom.
Exactly. So the grass typically does not like a very low pH, mm-hmm. to fescue grass especially. So if it isn't doing very well, you say, I'm fertilizing it, it's just not doing a thing. Mm-hmm. Then I'll ask, have you checked your soil chemistry lately? What's your pH like? Well, I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know. Well, go have a test made and find out. Mm. And that'll tell you, then they'll tell you exactly what to put on your soil, mm-hmm. how many pounds of lime to put on, nitrogen, et cetera, et cetera, mm-hmm. to get the soil up to par to where it'll support some nice looking grass. Mm-hmm. Another thing is the available sunshine. If it's too shady, the fescue grass won't work. They say, well, it says it's a shade. No, it's shade tolerant. It doesn't require the shade. It tolerates some shade. And typically, the shadier it gets, the higher you need to mow it.
Yeah.
So remember, it's the shadier, the higher. Okay. So keep it a little bit tall in the shade, and it'll do just fine. Keep the fertilizer applications up too; it'll mm-hmm. do just fine. Another thing people having troubles with is irrigation systems.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, it typically when PVC pipe has water frozen in it, it kind of unzips in this almost a lightning bolt fashion on the side of the pipe. And that doesn't support very much transfer of water. Mm. So it when you turn on the water, it bursts.
Yeah.
So if you do have somebody repair a broken PVC line like that in the ground, make sure that they put what we call an automatic drain valve in. If you do replace mm-hmm. that section with mm-hmm. PVC.
Yeah.
The automatic drain valve, get it? Yeah, that thing. The automatic drain valve is a little rubber poppet thing that mm-hmm. you just screw onto a fitting on the pipe. And when the pressure gets down below 10 PSI, mm-hmm. it relaxes and water just slowly runs out. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have some fairly heavy soil, it'll take a while for it to do that. Initially, though, when you first put it in and pack the soil around it, it'll have a tendency to drain out rather quickly. Mm-hmm. But as our soil, as it is, compacts and gets around it and mm-hmm. packs into it a little bit, it won't drain out as fast. Mm-hmm. And what these do is takes the water out of that area of the pipe. Mm-hmm. So when you shut off your irrigation, the water will run out at least enough to where the pipe will be, if not fully, partially evacuated of the water. Mm-hmm. So you won't have this problem. Typically with freezing. I've never really had to remove a section of pipe that was frozen that has an automatic drain valve on it.
Got it.
So that, or you can change to different pipe types. There's something relatively new called Blue Line, and it's a high density polyethylene, and it will go ahead and stretch when it freezes and compact back again. So mm-hmm. it's not much of a worry on that, but typically you do want to be proactive on freezing damage on your sprinkler system. We have a caller.
Yes, we do. Hi. Good morning. Welcome to the Green Country Gardener Program. You're on the air with Larry.
Good morning. My question is this. I planted last week, or maybe a week and a half ago, I planted my garden. I had it all tilled up and everything. Everything I planted by seed.
Right.
Now, my brother told me that it was too early to plant, and that everything would just, the seeds would just rot in the ground. Now, is he right, or am I way too early or not?
Well, okay. Yeah, warm season crops like beans, and is that what you've been planting, or what?
No, I planted squash, I planted some cantaloupe, I planted some watermelon, I planted spinach, lettuce, and a little bit of everything.
Well, I know your spinach and lettuce.
I didn't plant tomatoes.
That's a bit early yet, but anyway, your spinach and lettuce should come up okay, but the squash, they like it kind of hot, so you might have some difficulty with that.
Well, I'll just replant them then.
Well, you might check it out. If you know where some of the seeds are planted, just dig one of them up and see if it's coming out.
Okay.
It might take them a little longer to germinate in this cooler weather, too. So,
But they'll be okay, though. They won't rot in the ground, will they?
If it's really, really wet, yes, it will.
It's pretty wet.
Yeah. If your soil's...
They raise gardens, but it's still wet.
If you tilt it up and the soil's fairly loose, you probably won't have too much of a problem, really. But it's
okay.
Yeah, but usually I tell people, well, the last frost date typically is April the 15th. But check the forecast.
Always.
Yeah.
You never know. The weather over here is a little quirky now and then. You might be okay. Like I said, on the lettuce and the spinach, you'll be okay because they're kind of a cool season plant. But the beans and the squash might get damaged from the excessive.
Okay, well that's okay. I just planted seeds. I could buy more packets of seeds. It's not like 50 cents a packet. So
yeah, it's not a huge investment, no.
Yeah. It's never too early to plant the first time, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, very good. Thank you.
All right, thank you for calling.
And we're going to be right back after this two-minute timeout.
In 1930, Frank Phillips received a very special gift from some very dear friends. During a ceremony surrounded by 1,500 guests, Frank was adopted into the Osage tribe by Chief Fred Lookout and given the name of Eagle Chief by the Osage. This marked the first time that the Osage had ever adopted a white person into their tribe. Chief Lookout gave the newest Osage chief the gift of a pony, a saddle, and a single eagle feather. The saddle had been in Lookout's family for over 100 years. Frank Phillips received a telegram from a famous man and dear friend saying, "Sorry I can't make it. The Osage were always the smartest Indians in America. There are 120 million white men, and they pick out the best one to make an Osage chief. Best regards to all Osages, including Frank, from the renegade Cherokee, Will Rogers." That kind of magic still happens every day at Willow Rock. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
Everyone is talking about healthcare these days. America spends twice that of other developed countries on our healthcare system, yet our health ranks near the bottom. Primary care can help fix the problem. To learn more about the benefits of primary care, visit www.healthisprimary.org. This message is brought to you by America's Family Physicians.
There will be some homes flooded.
Tornado watch for much of the
major
state.
Structural damage is to homes.
When the weather is at its worst, we're at our best.
Heavy rain, obviously intense lightning.
Depend on K1 AM 1400 FM 93.3 to keep you ahead of the storm.
Trees and power lines down.
Tornado warning.
You can see it on radar.
K1, the one you trust. We're here to prepare you, not scare you.
All right, good morning. It is the Green Country Gardener Program, and Larry Glass is our expert. Let's go to the phones real quick. Hi, good morning. You're on the air.
Thank you. Is it too late to spray apple tree?
No, not at all. Well, what, okay. You're spraying for cedar apple rust?
Uh-huh.
I like to do that while the tree's dormant.
Mine's bloomed out.
Yeah, as long as the blooms are done with, you can spray it. Use a copper sulfate spray or copper spray. It's called copper fungicide. It'll work.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
All righty. And right now it is 8:57 and 45 very chilly degrees, isn't it?
Right. Tree of the week is the dogwood. They're really in bloom right now. Beautiful pink and white dogwoods.
Mm-hmm.
The saucer magnolias are done. They bloom kind of before them. And they're in bloom for about 5 minutes. But the dogwoods bloom for a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, basically, there are two types of dogwood. There's the Cornus florida and the Cornus calsa.
Gotcha.
Cornus florida are the ones that we traditionally have as dogwood trees.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a house yesterday, and I've been, she's been a customer for, probably 4,000 or 5,000 years. And their dogwood tree every year is just so beautiful, and it's just covered in blooms.
Uh-huh.
And we talk about that tree every time I see her in the spring, and even the rest of the year, she'll call me up, come look at it, and make sure it's all right. You know? But anyway, it was fully in bloom, and while it's cool like this, the dogwoods will stay in bloom for a fairly long period of time, so really nice. Now, when they're done blooming, the Cornus calsa will come out. Mm-hmm. That's the Korean dogwood. Now, the Korean dogwoods bloom on top of the leaves rather than ahead of the leaves. So they had this sort of layered look, almost a viburnum-like look to them when they bloom. And they can be in bloom for, golly, as many as two weeks.
Wow.
2 or 3 weeks, maybe longer sometimes, if the weather's cool. Mm-hmm. That's up to you guys. But anyway, dogwood's like an area that's typically... Don't look at me like that.
That is shielded. Shaking my head, Larry. Just shaking my head.
I know. They like they like areas that are shielded. Excuse me, from the midday sun, so that so they don't get overheated. Golly, they get all choked up about dogwoods. But anyway, they're one of the most beautiful plants you can have in the landscape when it comes to spring blooms. They're very attractive, very showy, and so on. They like good drainage and good soil. Anyway, we have those and plenty of other trees at the at the nursery. We have pink dogwoods, white dogwoods, calcid dogwoods, lots of annuals and perennials, and hollies and boxwoods, whatever. And
what else you got out there at the old greenhouse there, Larry?
You got me to laugh and kind of mess things up.
I'm sorry.
But anyway, you do want to make sure... in doing all your gardening, to keep that shovel sharp. We will see you next week.
All righty. We've got the news coming up. Have yourself a very nice weekend, and thank you for listening.
For residential and commercial plumbing, call Mason's Plumbing, where serving you is their priority. This is KWON Bartlesville and 93.3 FM K227CQ Bartlesville.
This is CBS News on the